So this is the conference about death. It's an exercise on death. Just to tell you, this exercise is done in the monasteries once a month. And even in the seminaries, also once a month is done. The way it was done in the monasteries in the Middle Ages was to have a coffin near the monastery and to go there once a month, a few minutes, to go there. Of course, you will have the key, no, in case someone wants to let you there, no. But so this is very important, because if we prepare, you know, we prepare ourselves for Mass, for Rosary, we prepare for retreat, for great things, great events. The most important thing in our life will be the moment of our death. That is the most important moment. From that moment depends our eternity. What is going to happen to us for a whole eternity depends from that last moment. This is why in the Rosary we pray without ceasingly, pray for us sinners and now and at the hour of our death. I mean, and the theologians said that the grace of a good death is not given to God by only for to those who persevere in asking for it. So nobody deserves this grace, but only those who ask for it continually, they prepare for it. But the principle of St. Alfonso says that as you live, you die. So don't expect conversion at the end if you don't live a good life. As we live, we die. This is why young men will go to the convents and monasteries, you know. And for that reason, for example, St. Benedict, we're speaking about the 5th, 6th century, he received from the Holy Ghost these promises, and one of the promises was, if someone dies as a Benedictine with his scapular on, he promised heaven. So the same promise of the brown scapular that you have was given to Saint Benedict from the 6th century. So this is why people will go to the religious life, to live a penitential living wisely, doing penance, to prepare for to die. Precisely, that was the reason why someone will go to the monastery, to prepare to die well in the midst of so much dangers. I would say it's enough reason to go to a monastery, to go to die well and to amend my life. It's a decision that each one has to take, no? But this is why someone asked to Saint Bernard, but if everybody will decide to go to a monastery and not to get married, so what will happen to the future of the world? And he said, well, that will be the most beautiful end of the world. No? Yes, he said that. Eh? Yes. Yes. So in the page 69, you will say, first exercise will be transport yourselves in thought to the bedside of a dying man or yourself. I say it's better to put yourself, you are dying. It's San Alfonso's, you know, Preparation for Death. It's a book, 42 conferences and practices. I think it's better that you put yourself as you are dying, yes. Our Lord, ask our Lord a salutary fear of death and the grace to be ready at any moment. So it's very powerful meditation. So what is death? To die is to bid farewell to everything in this world. A farewell to your fortune. Farewell to your titles, your rank. Farewell to your pleasures, your friends. Farewell to a part of yourself, of your body. And saddest of all, farewell forever to this world. To die is to be abandoned by all whom you leave behind. Friends and acquaintances who think no more of you. They will dispute your property. They will share what you have. They might shed tears for a few days, few months, no? To die is to leave your house for a deep, narrow grave. It is to await at the day of judgment under a stone, in a coffin, 6 feet underground, without any other garment than a shroud, without other society than reptiles and worms, without other titles than an inscription which few will read and which time will soon efface. So to die is to pass into the most humiliating state, the nearest to nothingness in your body, of course. Your bodily senses will no longer act. Your eyes will no longer see. Not even your own destruction. Not even the work of worms we will notice. Where you will be slowly fall to pieces, where you will decompose into an infectious corruption. Like Isaiah says, under thee shall the moth be strewed, and worms shall be thy covering. And Job also says, I have said to rottenness, thou art my father, and to worms, my mother and my sister. So to die is for your soul all at once to leave this world and enter into your particular judgment, yes. Suddenly, it's immediately. Where it goes to hear from the mouth of the Lord, in what place it must be, see, the particular judgment, yes. It's what to decide. There will be no more mercy in that judgment, yes. There is a man who, by a miracle, God didn't want him to go to eternity. But that man, a Mexican, yes, he saw his particular judgment already, no? It's the next subject, Father Hugo. But he said that the evil wrongdoings started being open the book of God, Christ our Lord, and his sins started being shown to him. And he said the first thing that he saw was when he was 5 years old, knocking down the plants and flowers of his mother in the garden. He was a boy and he was angry against mom. And as a retaliation, he started knocking down the flowers. That was the first scene that God put into his movie, his life, for the judgment. And he said, I even never remember that event. I knew that it happened after our Lord showed to me the events. Yes. So our Lord said that from even an idle thought, we will receive a judgment. We will judge. We will judge by an idle thought even. So must I die? More certainly, we are going to die. reason tell us that a body constantly undermined by time must finally fall to dust. Faith tell us also that a sentence of death has been pronounced against all men. St. Paul to the Hebrews says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Also, experience shows us the places, the cemeteries, when men are, men die, yes. There is no man that lives away or that hopes for this. So there is no man who lives always, yes, or that hope to live always, Ecclesiastes 9. To almost all the questions that might be asked about you, the answer will be perhaps. For example, shall you have a large fortune, great talents, a long life? In the future? Perhaps. Will your last hour find you in the friendship of God? In the friendship of God? Perhaps. After this retreat, shall you live long in a state of grace? Perhaps. Shall you be saved? Perhaps. But shall you die? Yes, certainly. Will a day arrive when the health shall succeed sickness, then agony, then the last sight? Yes. Will there be a day when the bell will toll for your burial, when your name will be inscribed in the register of the dead, when your coffin and your tombstone will be ordered, and when your servants will carry you from your apartments to your grave? Yes, yes, certainly. Shall you be led in the bosom of the earth to molder away, to be eaten by worms, and to crumble into dust? Yes, more certainly, yes. So take every caution you please. You will not escape the decree of death. See the generations that have preceded us. They are not here. Huh? Monarchs, our fathers, great fathers, great grandfathers, the great people in this life, in this world. Know that you will one day have the same end as they. And that tomorrow, perhaps, it will be your turn to fall the stroke of death. So in all the retreats, I remember a pious custom that we offer in the retreats. We always do this in the conference of death, that we ask each one of those in this room asking, praying the Rosary of today. We offer all the rosary of today for the next to die. Any one of us next to die, we offer the rosary today for that one next to die. So how often shall I die? Shall I die soon? Shall I die soon? When I consider that the measure of your life is this time, of which the days, hours, moments press upon and as if were swallowed up each other, how then can you flatter yourself that death is far off when it has already begun for you? From the moment of your birth to this hour, what have you done but to die? This is the Catholic way of looking at yours. They say, how old are you? No, rather, we should say, how closer we are to death. One year closer to death, you know, to everlasting, to eternity. Yes. I will say, because, you know, if we ask, how old are you? We are focusing on earth, you know. And Catholics, they never focus on earth, you know. Because we focus on eternity, we should ask rather, today is my, I have more 1 year today from my birth, nearer to death, to eternity. So count all the years, the weeks, the days, the hours, we united, make up what you call your age. What are they but so many steps towards the grave? You are like a candle, which is consumed in giving light and gives light in being consumed. Like it, you live it dying, and in living die. So all other human actions have some cessation, business, study, pleasures, sleep, eating. But there is but one action that is never interrupted, and this action is death. Death that began with your first sight and will end with your last breath. So what is your age? It is 20, 30, 40? Or are you still older? What do these past years appear to you? Years already passed into eternity like waves into the ocean. How quickly they have gone. Be persuaded that your future years will pass as quickly. And even there are years before you. And even if there are years before you, death will take you from the future, as it took you from you the past. When we shall die? So Saint Paul, when the Acts of the Apostles said, it is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father had put in your own power. Saint Alfonso explains that God has set the amount of mortal sins that He will bear from us. He has mercy. He waits for us in the confessionary. He waits for us for the pardon. But He says that if we reach the last mortal sin that God will allow us to bear with us, that will mean the death sentence. We will die in that moment, you know. We might die in mortal sin because God has decided no more mercy, no more chances, no? At that point. Scary thought, because I told you that there are two boys, at least two boys, 7 years old, who died after one mortal sin and went to hell. Why we could not, we cannot take chances, you know. If we can meet next mortal sin, we can wake up in heaven, in hell. Yes. Watch, for you know not the day or the hour. It is not for us to penetrate the secrets of God, but it is for us to watch, that we may be no surprise. You know, there is this mistake of shepherds, people, or priests saying, pray, and you shall be fine. And our Lord never said that. Our Lord said, watch and pray, both. Watch and pray. Because just pray without watching it, like saying that God is going to take care of everything. I will do nothing. I have to do nothing. This is a modernist mentality. I just want to pray and leave it in God's hands. I will do nothing to improve and to change or to fight back the errors, no? For example, what happened, for example, in the SSPX environment, they tell that to the people. Pray, and you should be fine. Without telling, watch and fight against error. You know, watch and against the wolves and errors, and fight back and be worried against the enemies who are infiltrated into the church, into your house and your household, family. Watch and pray, our Lord said. So be vigilant and fighting back enemies, being ready with the weapon to shoot at the enemies of our soul, our family, against God. So our Lord said, watch and pray. Not just pray, no. Watch and pray. And watching implies that we have to keep studying, keep practicing prudence and learning the moves of the enemy, learning what they are doing. At the same time, we learn, yes, about God and how to love Him more. But it's a double fight. Remember, I told you, this life is a double fight. Watch, because we have to keep fighting against the enemies, to put the enemies outside of our life, and also at the same time praying to get closer to God. So to be further for our enemies, fighting back and walking with all our might to God, to be closer to Him. To say just pray is to say there is no enemies. It's to say it's the same. Those people, whoever is good. It's good people. Don't be afraid. You don't have to watch. You just pray, and you will be saved. This is not Catholic. You see, it's not Catholic attitude. Especially today, that we are surrounded by wolves and Masonry and Freemasonry, Satanists and errors everywhere. Watch, for you not know what kind of death shall you die, will be a sudden death without time to prepare yourself. Will it be after a long illness which will deprive you of the use of your senses, the use of time, the grace of sacraments? Will it be after a violent pain, an accident maybe, which will render it out of your power to attend for your everlasting salvation? Will be it from a fall, from fire, from a weapon, from the enemy? Watch, for you know not. And what place shall you die? Will be ye in your house, in another house, a table, a play, a church, and the theater? Will be in your bed, in prison, in a scaffold? What day shall you die? In 10 years, or in this year, tonight? We don't know. Watch, for you know no. So it's appointed unto men to die once. Hebrews 9. This is what is more terrible in death. In this great and decisive action, all errors are irreparable. The misfortune of a bad death is of eternal consequences. This is why it's very important to choose the right life, how to live this life in order to die well. What we are doing in the retreat, why you are doing retreat. You have to live out of the retreat to know exactly what you have to do in order to live as a Catholic and in order to be safe, to die well. If you could die twice, you might reassure yourself as to the risk. No? If you were lost the first time, you might be saved the second, but it is not so, of course not. You have but one life, one soul, one death. Once lost, you are lost for eternity. On what does a good or bad death depends? On a single moment. What is required to consent to temptation? A moment. That is a scary thought. That was a famous one in the stories of St. Alfonso, no? A man who had the bad habit of consenting in bad thoughts of impurity. And he will go to confession, yes, every week. But he will never get rid of that bad habit. And St. Alfonso said that man was dying. And very Catholic family, parents, they brought the priest. The priest heard the confession. The priest left the room. A beautiful nurse came in. And he fell into that thought of temptation and impurity. And he died in mortal sin. Yeah. If we had to get rid of bad habits, vices, completely. What is required mortally to offend the Lord? A single instant. Consider well that no more is necessary to decide your eternity. One moment is enough to ensure your damnation. On this moment depends eternity. Remember, our Lord said, "He who perseveres unto the end shall be saved." To the end. So obviously means that we must fight every minute for our salvation. To strive with a fervor, with a great battle against the enemies. So that we might be fighting at the last moment, you see? Because if we're not fighting now, how do we presume that we will fight in the last moment of our life? It's to take chances, dangerous chances, to lose our souls forever and ever in hell. This is why our Lord said, "I vomit the lukewarm." Because they who are not fighting, those who are at peace with their sins, with the attitude of lukewarmness, and they will not make it. Or very difficult will make it. They will need a miracle. Because those lukewarm are in a downhill life to mortal sin, to hell. He who do not improve or advance, but go backwards. It's either you go up or downwards. Down, yes. It's not middle ground. I'm happy, I'm good Catholic enough, I am just, you know, 1 foot here and 1 foot. No. It's either you go up or you go down. No? Another consideration, if you had died such a day or such a year, on such an hour of your life, when you were the enemy of God, where would you be now? Maybe you will be lost and lost forever. So it means that we have an opportunity. We cannot miss the opportunity anymore from now to the future. So we are obliged constantly to fight back against the evil and sin and the devil, the errors. The Ecclesiasticus says, if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in what place soever it shall fall, there shall it be. Are you not seized with terror at the thought of the danger to which you have voluntarily exposed your soul? So no doubt we have to take the measure that we will not be in danger of damnation. Now, the retreat is the moment. Resolve to live more carefully for the future and hasten to assure yourself of the sanctity that God is going to offer to you through your work, so that you will die well. Yes. So you have here some affections you can do during your meditation, affections and resolution, colloquy with our Lord. And also, in page 75 is what I want you to do, to apply your senses to your own death. You imagine that you are dying, yes. So you imagine that your apartment, faintly lighted by the last rays of day or the day, or the feeble light of the lamp, your bed that will never live except to be laid in your coffin, all the objects that surround you and seem to say to you, you live as forever. Also, you see the persons who will be surrounding you, your servants, sad and silent, a weeping family, bidding you a last adieu, the minister of religion, the priest, praying near you, suggesting pious affections to you, yourself stretched on a bed of pain, losing by degrees your senses and the free use of your faculties, struggling violently against death, which comes to tear your soul from the body and drag it before the tribunal of God. At your side, the devils, who redouble their efforts to destroy you. You know, this is another point to be concerned. No? The saints agree that on the moment of our death, the attacks of the devils are redouble, yes. So if we are not used to fight against temptations, against bad thoughts, bad sides, and we are not used to that, how we will be enduring those the final battle. We will not be able to endure it, let's face it. Yes. So remember the principle, as it is your life, will be your death. Yes. As you live, you die. This is why I always insist to you, and I never will be tired of that, is especially in this moment, we are obliged to live in a perfect contrition. Constantly, every moment, every minute. This is Saint Benedict's in the rule also. That is the three conditions to be in a perfect contrition. Three conditions. That first, that you hate all your sins of your life, even venial sins. Second, that you hate those sins because you love God with a pure motive of love of God. Yes, His goodness, His majesty, His most precious blood, His sacrifice. And the third condition is that you have the resolution to go to confession as soon as you can. See? So you have to foster that perfect contrition every minute. Means if you commit a sin, immediately you regret it and you tell God that you are sorry and you don't want to do it. This is a Saint Benedict rule. In fact, we practice that the monks in the monasteries. Even not only interiorly, but also visibly. If we break a rule or we do something against the brothers and against charity, immediately we cast our knees on the floor and kiss the floor and say, give pardon to the brother or the rule or the superior. And at the end of the day, we have the chapter of faults in the monastery. So all the brothers together, they kneel one by one, start telling their faults of the day. No sins. No secret sins, no. But yes, public sins against the rule, against charity. They will, one by one, kneeling, proclaim in front of everybody their faults of the day. Yes. We will do it twice a day. Twice, I will say twice, because we also, to God, you know, we say sorry to God. You know? At the moment of the fault, you say sorry to God, sorry to the superior. And you make satisfaction. And at the end of the day, and the chapter falls, you say sorry to the superior, to God, and to all the brothers in public. Yes. It has to be like that. Otherwise, how will be watching upon us, you know? If we don't make public our faults and if we don't open up our souls to the others and the superior, how will be we watching effectively against us, you see? Because it's a war against ourselves. It's an open war against ourselves. It's a very delicate point. It's very serious, this point I am telling you. Because the worst enemy is not the devil. The worst enemy is not the world, the worldly things. The worst enemy is pride, our inclinations, our will. This is what Saint Benedict in the Rule says, we must hate our own will. Yes. You will be surprised. I think the modern world, the modern constitutions, and the liberal constitutions will condemn the rule of Saint Benedict, yes. He's saying that we must hate our own will, so we must hate our liberty. This is condemned. They will say the modernists, they will condemn Saint Benedict. Yeah? It's because Saint Benedict condemns liberalism. You know? That pampering oneself, or being too easy to ourselves, to allow ourselves sins, hidden sins, and to keep being unfaithful to God without looking for ways to be corrected. You see, this is quite very wise. Saint Benedict is very wise. This is the 15th century rule of Christian civilization of Europe and Americas. So it's better now to suffer now the judgment of the others, to be punished now by the superior, by the others, you did that. Oh, no. I will tell you, in the Middle Ages, it's not done anymore, but in the Middle Ages, if a public sinner, like a robber, a criminal, you know, and someone who was a public sinner, if that person will want to enter a monastery, a convent, the requirement was that before entering the test, number one was the superior will assemble all the monks in the room, and they will put that candidate who wants to enter the monastery in the midst of the room. And the superior will say to the candidate, okay, you have to tell everybody your confession from your general confession, aloud, scene by scene, in front of everybody. Even if last 3 hours, we are here to hear you. That was the test number one for a candidate, public sinner, to enter a monastery. That was necessary for him to be known as he is, so that he will not faint or simulate something that he knows is, or he was not, never. So that we'll do perfect penance. Because everybody will look at him, oh, wow, what a horrible, wow. You deserve it. You go to the kitchen, go to the barn. They will be mistreated, maybe, yes, of course. But that was, you cannot imagine, but that was required in the Middle Ages. Yes. And even Saint Benedict, you will be surprised. So Saint Benedict in the rule, when a priest, it's a chapter about how to receive priests who want to become monks. See? So a secular priest, a missionary or a diocesan, could knock at the door of the monastery asking for to be admitted at the life of the monastery, no? So Saint Benedict says, okay, we will put him to test. So before you accept him, ask him the following question. So the question will be, friend, why thou hast just come here? So the same question that our Lord asked to Judas, the superior asked to the priest who was to come to the monastery. Friend, for what purpose has you come here? Yes, the same question. Like saying, if you come here for an easy life, to do your will, to be treated better because you have a great dignity as a priest, to be treated in an easy life, go. You will betray us, you cannot be here. It's why the medic wants that question from the priest. Are you Judas or you come here to do penance? It's why you will be surprised that if that priest will enter the monastery, he will not exercise his priesthood for 1 year as a proof of humility. So don't ask me why so severe. Well, it's because for Saint Benedict, if someone is not humble, even if he's a priest, he will not bear fruit and he will be damaging more souls and more the glory of God than being edifying the others, no? Yes. It's a great wisdom there. So he prefers that someone will practice humility than for someone to exercise a skill or wisdom or perform a mass. The Holy Sacrifice is the mass. If he's not humble, he will not allow him to say mass. Imagine, this is Saint Benedict. So just to tell you, it's how Saint Benedict prepared the monks to die well. If that is for monks, how will it be for laymen? How will you have to prepare to die well? So you have to fight back against yourself to practice perfect contrition. That is the answer for you in the world. To check, always before you go to bed, check if you have hatred for your sins or for whatever sin you committed that day and for your sins of your past life. Tell our Lord that you are sorry for because he's good itself, he's good, infinite goodness, he's your redeemer. And also tell him that you are going to go to confession as soon as you can. And after you go to sleep. You know? So prepare to die. Yes, you have to prepare to die. So next conference will be the particular judgment and after the general judgment at night. Yes. So we stop here. Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Most sacred heart of Jesus. Immaculate heart of Mary. Most chaste house in Joseph.
Pray for us.
And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.